What if the greatest barrier to your spiritual growth is not your discipline, it's not your consistency, it's not even a struggle you might be going through? What if it's your theology? What if the reason your formation feels fragmented, your relationships strained, and your prayer life inconsistent is because you're trying to live a Christian life without a fully Trinitarian God? Not denying the Trinity, just not living in the fullness of the Trinity. And because here's the truth that shapes everything we're going to talk about today, you will never be formed beyond the God you actually relate to. And your God is functionally one-dimensional. If he is a principle more than a person, a force more than a father, or a doctrine more than a living community, well, your transformation is going to reflect that limitation. And the question is not whether you believe in the Trinity. The question is whether the Trinity is actually forming you. And that's what we're here to talk about today, right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Well, hey, welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. I'm Charles Russell. I'm here with my co-host, most excellent brother-in-law, Dr. Bruce Ritter, and we're thrilled that you're here with us. Today's Season 3, Episode 13. This is the first episode in a new series that we're calling Theology Anchors for Spiritual Formation. Man, we want to welcome you on this post-Easter episode. Bruce, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Had a great Easter weekend here in my hometown, and we had a good service yesterday with guests and good attendance, and so I'm pretty pumped today. Fortunately, I had that Monday follow up, so I'm looking forward to a great week and great, I think, a good couple of episodes for this podcast topic on spiritual formation. If you've been with us through the Easter planning series, you know we spent 5 episodes walking through a strategic and spirit-led process for mobilizing your congregation toward outreach. Now, this series is going to move in a different direction, but it is deeply connected because everything we build as leaders, everything we mobilize people to do, it really does rise or fall in what we actually believe about God.
Absolutely. You know, formation is not accidental by any means. Formation is it's theological. And so the most foundational theological anchor we can lay down is this. The Trinity is not advanced doctrine, not that's reserved strictly for seminary classrooms. The Trinity is the ground for all spiritual formation. And so we're going to connect this to the teacher gift from the Church Life Missional Model, specifically to its first divine urgency, which is this: to build leaders who can equip and release believers that are formed in the life of Christ and his empowered and his empowered to serve in ministry. So, our teaching leaders, they carry a particular burden for closing the gap between what the church confesses and what the church actually experiences. And nowhere is that gap more consequential than in our practical relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit. So today we're going to cover what is actually at stake when the Trinity becomes abstract, what the inner life of the triune God reveals about the shape of formation, and how teaching leaders can move people from theological information to genuine Trinitarian participation.
Yeah, Charles, and you know, before we build anything, we have to name what we're building on and why it matters so much to get this right. There is a, we might call it a quiet crisis in the modern church that doesn't get talked about enough. So let's talk about what's at stake. The crisis is not a crisis of passion, and it's not a crisis of activity. Most churches that we work with are full of passionate, active, well-meaning people. And, you know, in another another dynamic here is most churches put a lot of energy, financial commitments to areas related to discipleship and the ministries of the church, especially age-related ministries. But the crisis can still be one of theological depth, specifically a thinning out of Trinitarian conviction in the day-to-day experience for ordinary believers. So one of the huge doctrines of the church, at least our Orthodox doctrines, is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And sadly, it's been quietly relegated in much of contemporary Christianity to the category of advanced doctrine, something you affirm in a statement of faith, something you visit maybe in a theology course, or something that lives in the formal language of baptism and benediction, but doesn't necessarily shape how you pray on a Tuesday morning or how you think about your relationships or how you understand what's actually happening in your own personal life change. And I think that consequence is pretty serious, because when the Trinity is diminished, formation is distorted. And it's not because God is offended by our imbalance, but because transformation doesn't begin with the practices. It begins with who God actually is. And who God is this. He's not a solitary force. He's not some abstract power. He's not a distant moral authority. We experience God in relational communion, and God is a relational communion, Father, Son, and Spirit. And they express and live in eternal love, a mutual self-giving and submission, shared glory, and perfect unity. And so three persons, one being, indwelling one another in a life that has never needed anything outside of itself to be complete. And then staggeringly, this God, this Trinity, opens that life to us, not as observers, but really as participants. And if that's true, it changes everything about what formation in and what is supposed to produce. Because if God is relational at his core, and you're being formed into his image, then formation that does not produce relational depth, self-giving love, mutual submission with others, then and genuine community is just not complete. It's a big discipleship gap, but it's more than that, Charles. It really is a theology gap.
Yeah, and that's truth for sure, Bruce. You know, this is the divine urgency that drives the teacher gift at this level of leadership. Teaching leaders really needs to close the gap between what we confess and what we experience. So one of the most common gaps that we encounter has a name, and I want to give it to us plainly today. That name would be practical Unitarians, right? Most believers in Spirit-filled churches are Trinitarian in confession and Unitarian in practice. Now, if you've got all the hate emails, that's bruce@fivegifts.org, all right? I'm going to say that again. Most believers in Spirit-filled churches, we're Trinitarian in confession, but Unitarian in practice. We say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and mean it when we say it. But functionally, on any given day, many of us relate to only one person of the Trinity, and often the same one every time. Some believers relate almost exclusively to Jesus. The Father feels distant, unapproachable, or somehow more severe. The Spirit feels unpredictable or even unfamiliar. So they live in a kind of perpetual Jesus-only spirituality that, while not wrong in its devotion, is certainly incomplete in its formation. So then others relate to God more generically, kind of a warm, benevolent presence they address in prayer without much differentiation between Father, Son, and Spirit. And the result, then, is a spiritual life that can feel sincere, but somehow shallow, like a relationship conducted entirely at the surface because the full depth of the other person has never really been explored. then others, particularly in more, shall we say, charismatic contexts, relate primarily to the spirit. They're alive to experience. They're sensitive to atmosphere and movement. But without the anchoring identity that comes from the Father or the cruciform pattern that comes from the Son. So in each of these, there's imbalance. And the result in each case is truly the same. There's formation that is incomplete. Because each person of the Trinity reveals something irreplaceable. The Father is the source of love and identity, the one from whom you learn who you are and whose you are. The Son is the embodiment of grace and truth, the one who shows you what human life fully surrendered to God actually looked like. Then the Spirit is the power of transformation and presence, the one who makes the life of Christ actual in you, not just admirable from a distance. Then when any one of these is minimalized, there's something essential is missing from your formation. And the first strategy of the teacher gift is to address exactly this, to clarify God so that people can experience God, not just intellectually, but relationally and transformatively.
Charles, what a mouthful of truth just coming out today. That imbalance is real, and I think it's hard to integrate that. So again, I think we're on point this morning. But we think of, so what does the inner life of this triune God, what is it actually supposed to look like? Because you can't imitate what you have not seen, and you cannot participate in what you haven't understood. So let's go deeper into the nature of this relational God. There really is a relational life demonstrated in the Trinity. You know, the early churches, they worked through the implications of what Scripture revealed about God. They reached for a word to describe the inner life of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and that word was perichoresis. And the image behind is a kind of a divine dance. Even in the Corinthian culture, Paul pulls that imagery of the three graces. But that's three persons indwelling one another, moving in and around and through one another in kind of an eternal choreography of mutual love and shared life. And that's an image that may be kind of odd to us, but that was the image that, again, that the New Testament was had an understanding about the Trinity. Basically, what that boils down to is there's no competition, there's no insecurity, there's no angling for position or protecting territory. The truth is, it demonstrates a mutual submission. The glory is shared. And it comes with an overflowing love that is so complete within itself that when it creates, when it reaches outward toward humanity, it does so not out of need, but out of generosity. And that matters for formation, because spiritual formation is not primarily about behavior modification. It really is about participation, being drawn into the very life that has always existed between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're not being improved from the outside. There is an inner transformation happening. Again, you're being transformed from within by an indwelling God who himself is a relational community. And that means that the shape of formation is not arbitrary. If God is relational, formation must be relational. If God is self-giving, then formation has to produce self-giving. If God exists in unity, in diversity, then three distinct persons in one being, then formation has to shape how we live in community with people who are genuinely different from us. So the fruit of Trinitarian formation is not just a personal holiness. It really is a community that visibly reflects the character of the God who made it.
Yeah, you know, this really, it brings us to one of the most practical implications of everything that we've been building. It's the connection between Trinitarian theology and the call to imitation that runs all the way through the New Testament. Scripture is really direct about this. It's this, follow me, imitate Christ, be imitators of God. The language of imitation is everywhere in the New Testament. It's easy to reduce it to behavioral mimicry, but watch what Jesus did and try to do the same things. That's really we can try to boil it down into that kind of an idea, but that really misses the depth of what's being described. We're not being called primarily to imitate the actions of Christ, but we are being called to imitate his relational patterns. The way he related to the Father, the way he depended on the Spirit, the way he gave himself for others without reservation or resentment. Jesus doesn't just show us how to behave, he shows us how to relate. And he does so from within the Trinitarian life. He's always shared with the Father and with the Spirit. So formation becomes this. It becomes learning to live from the same relational life that Jesus lived in. Not copying his conduct from the outside, but being united to him in a way that makes his way of being in the world naturally, progressively, and genuinely our very own. This is why Paul's language goes beyond imitation into something even more radical. Paul speaks of being in Christ, not near him, not following at a distance, but actually united with him. The Spirit living in us, access to the Father opened through the Son, participation in the divine nature, as Peter puts it, not becoming God, but certainly being filled with the life of God in a way that genuinely changes what and who we are. The teacher's gift, it works at this level in a way that moves people from information to imitation to participation. Let me say that again. I think that's important. The teacher gift on this level is working in a manner that moves people from information to imitation into full participation. Knowledge that does not transform relationships is not yet formed theology. And so, you know, the test of whether someone has genuinely encountered Trinitarian truth is not whether they can articulate the doctrine. It is whether their relational life is being shaped by the relational life of God.
Mm. Charles, I can just think of fantastic studies that we can do when it comes to discipleship that explores how Jesus related to the Father and the Spirit. The submission that he demonstrated, the sense of acceptance, even that was given like at his baptism or the transfiguration. Those are vivid pictures, vivid images for us to begin to study and explore. And I think that's a great basis to, again, bring out the theology of those Trinitarian relationships. And of everything that you've said, Charles, to this point, if all of this is true, and we believe it is, then it has immediate implications for how we think about spiritual practices, how we live in spiritual community, how we execute the mission of Christ. So let's bring it to the ground level, and let's talk about Trinitarian formation as a practice. Transformation is not generic. It should be Trinitarian. The Father initiates, and he loves. He is the source of identity. He's the one whose voice tells you who you are before you've done anything to earn it or lose it. And the Son redeems and models. He enters fully into human experience and shows us really what that experience looks like when it's completely surrendered to God. And then, of course, the Spirit empowers and applies. He takes the reality of what Christ accomplished, and he makes it actual in your specific life, in your specific circumstances right now. So the teaching, the teacher's gift, or the teacher gifts, they exercise a practical strategy by equipping people to engage each person of the Trinity specifically and intentionally, not just to pray more, but to pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit, not just to grow spiritually, but to receive identity from the Father, follow the pattern of the Son, and yield to the particular work the Spirit is doing in this season. And this is, you know, this is a thought. This is how theology becomes formation rather than just information. And it requires teaching leaders who are willing to slow down, go deep, and resist the pressure to keep spiritual content at a level of generality that's comfortable but not transformative. And of everything that we want to tell you about the gift of the teacher, remember, it always has to move into practice. Everything in information is just theory. We want to move people into ground level, living out the image of Christ. And so this theology is essential. And so when you begin to lead people in this way, you begin to see there's also the community dimension. And it cannot be separated from any of the stuff we've talked about this morning. Again, if God exists as a relational communion of three persons, then spiritual formation, listen to me, it cannot remain individualistic. The Trinity produces Trinitarian community. We're formed together, not in parallel isolation. We grow through mutual love, mutual accountability, mutual investment in one another's transformation. We reflect the character of God through shared life, not just through personal virtues displayed in proximity to other people. Again, there's interaction. And from that community, mission begins to flow, because the God who is eternally relational within himself is also the God who sends. The Father sent the Son. The Son sends us. The Son, the Spirit empowers the sending. So formation is not just inward. It is outward. It's missional. And it's fundamentally relational. And an overflow of the same life that has always flowed between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
So let me give you the question that I think this episode is ultimately asking. And I want you to sit with this question honestly, all right? It's not, do I believe in the Trinity? I think most of us would answer yes without any hesitation. The deeper question is this: which person of the Trinity am I least aware of, least relating to, least formed by in my daily life? And how might that absence be limiting what God wants to do in me? So sit with that, ponder on that, think on that, reflect, pray through that question. And then I want you to follow up with a second question that I believe is worth carrying into the week. And it's here's the question: is my current spiritual life shaped more by habit and routine, or by the actual relational life of Father, Son, and Spirit? Is there a living, personal, differentiated engagement with each person of this God who has opened his life to me? Because here's truth. Transformation begins not when we know more about the Trinity, but when the Trinity becomes our relational reality.
Yeah, and listen, if this episode has been insightful to you, we'd love for you to like, follow, subscribe, and share to our podcast. Please share this episode with others. But again, personally, if this episode is exposing gaps, maybe in your formation or in theological foundation of the ministry that you're leading, that's not a problem to be managed. It's an invitation, really, to go deeper. And Charles and I work with leaders, churches, and teams to build theologically anchored, Spirit-formed systems of discipleship. And if you're ready to go deeper, you can connect with us at charlesrusselltraining.com, charlesrussellministries.com, or coachingcardia.com. And we offer leadership development, spiritual formation coaching, and consulting for fivefold leaders who want to build on something that will hold together and bear fruit. Now, next episode, we're going to continue the theology anchor series, and we go further into what it means practically to be formed by the life of the triune God, who is not just a doctrine to affirm, but a reality to inhabit. Remember, you're not saved into isolation. You were not formed by accident. You were invited into the life of the triune God, and that's where everything changes. And we'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts podcast. You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.